Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist podcast. Today we're talking about what to do when Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking. My name is Tim, and I'm here with Dr. Bobby Conway, and we're going to get started.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions,
to give a defense.
Okay, here at the 1 Minute Apologist, we love to give credible answers to curious questions. And last week on the podcast, we talked about how to develop apologetic discernment. So if you haven't heard that episode, wherever you're listening to this one, head on over to that place, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and check out last week's episode. Feel free to subscribe. If there's something in there or in this podcast that you really like or think someone else should hear, feel free to share it. Leave us a review. Those are always great. All the time, there's people that are in a sense, evangelizing. They're headed out. They're knocking on people's doors. They're getting invited in, and they're bringing on this message. And we would like those to be Christians, traditional Christians, but oftentimes they're Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or somebody else. So if you've had the experience of getting someone knocking on your door, as I have, as Bob you've had, as a number of people have had, what do we do when they knock on our door? We have a small amount of time, perhaps. A lot of people might just not be interested in the conversation at all, kind of decide that they are not really worth the time and send them away. But is that the best thing to do? So maybe we can start, Bobby, with just talking about what are some of the core beliefs of the Jehovah's Witnesses that we need to be aware of?
Well, if I can, I'd first like to just say how ironic it is that you sent me the topic on, hey, let's do an episode on Jehovah's Witnesses when they come knocking at your door, because literally this past weekend on a Saturday, and that's often when Jehovah's Witnesses mm-hmm. will go out, I did have a couple elderly men stop by my house, and I noticed that I could tell the Jehovah's Witnesses were at the door, and I was so comfortable. I think I was enjoying my nice hot coffee, and it was like, oh my goodness, you know? And I wish I could just say like, man, I just jump right out of bed every time and just hope someone, God, please help someone to knock on my door so I can be a witness for you. It's not always the case, but I did go to the door and felt like I needed to go to the door and got in a conversation. I've been in conversations many times with Jehovah's Witnesses. And this one was no different. I like to, first of all, thank them for the opportunity that they've given me to drop by. I like to tell them how, you know, I'm sorry for the fact that they can feel so rejected by so many people just in general.
Yeah.
I think even if we don't agree with them, we got to admire and respect anybody that's going to care enough about us, and even if it is caring about their own salvation too, to at least deliver the good news to us. So you asked me a question, though, and that is, what are their core beliefs? And I like that you asked it in that fashion, because so often we get in discussions with people of, let's say, cults. And the way I would define a cult, by the way, is one who denies one or more of the main Christian core doctrines. Mm. And so when we think about a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, they absolutely do that. And I think it's important to stay on the core versus discussing all the different ancillary things that we could get into. So their core beliefs would be that there is one God named Jehovah, and Jesus is his first creation, and Jesus used to exist as Michael the Archangel. He came as a human person, died, but he did not die on a cross. He rose from the grave, but he did not rise from the grave physically, but spiritually. And then the Holy Spirit is God's operating force, but not the third person of the Trinity. So that's how we're to understand God, as we understand their organizations, Watchtower Society. It's highly governed. They're not allowed to read outside of that. And when we think about their Bible, they don't have Greek scholars and Hebrew scholars working from the translation, and they end up with their version, the New World Translation, which is very erroneous. And so that's their special revelation, so to speak. And I would also add that mankind, on their view, will ultimately be annihilated if they do not believe. They're saved by works, and only a small group of 144,000 people will get to inherit basically heaven. And that's a scary thought.
Yeah, yeah. With some of those things in mind, where did you start the conversation with these gentlemen as they came to the door on Saturday?
Well, one of the things that I did tell them is I said, I can see how you could look at Christians. And number one, when the door gets slammed on your face, it could reaffirm why you believe what you believe. And I also said, I can see how when you look at Christianity and see all the different denominations and you see, you know, the Watchtower Society and you know, your Kingdom Halls and how unified that looks, that it could appear to you to have the one basic truth. I said, but we need to step back and remember that before the Protestant Reformation, it was a lot more cleaned up than it is now. But in the experience that we allow for people to be able to have the scriptures, look at the scriptures, where there is autonomous Christianity, so to speak, there's going to be a lot of different views. And we see that. And I would say with Jehovah's Witnesses, they're not allowed to read outside works. And so it's highly controlled. So I'd say don't be so quick to find confidence in the fact that it all looks good, because you're not allowed to look at other stuff. You're not allowed to test this thing to see if it's true or not.
Yeah.
So I did take some time to talk about that, just sort of establish a foundation and to let them know that I respected them for dropping by. And hey, whether we are able to shake hands on this, you know, we can befriend one another. And that was important.
I remember a time when the Jehovah's Witnesses came knocking at my door, and because I'm somebody that enjoys talking about theology, and they obviously wanted to talk about theology, we got into that conversation, and we meandered through some of the same things. How did you come to your belief, and kind of some of their background, just kind of getting to know them. And the third visit or so, we sat down and I asked them, you know, who wrote their Bible, like who translated it? And that was one thing that they didn't really have any idea who translated it. And that was a problem for me, that it wasn't a group of people. In the end, when I did the research on it and they did some of the research on it, that it was just just one person that helped translate their scriptures, their current version that you were just talking about, the New World Translation. With only having one translator, what are some of the scriptural issues that come up that we can highlight in that conversation?
Yeah, I would want to be clear. I'm not sure how many translators are there.
I'm not sure either.
Okay, yeah. I want to be careful with our audience that that they know that we're not exactly sure how many translators
right.
are. That's a good question, and perhaps maybe one of our listeners will go and, you know, throw that out, or maybe we'll go and look into that and then get back with them. But I don't recall right off the top of my head. I will say that it should be concerning, though, that they don't have PhD credentialed scholars that have translated it,
yeah.
No doubt. And you can see how they're force ranking what they're doing. Like, for example, if you go to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, what they do is in the Greek, it's anarthros before theos, right? It's not ha-theos, it's theos. So what they do is they'll translate it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. And so what they do is they reduce the divinity of Jesus down right there, but they're not consistent, because when you continue to read John chapter 1, it will say, there was a man, speaking of John the Baptist, who was sent from, right, from theos, from God. It's an arthrist. There's no definite article. And so what they don't do there, though, is they don't put there was a man who was sent from a God. Why? Because they believe that's Jehovah.
Yeah.
But when it's referring to Jesus, they don't mind dumping his divinity, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, there's probably a number of other things, but that's one of the ones that I'm glad that you highlighted. So any final thoughts that you could give us as somebody knocks on the door and we, you know, kind of realize that they're a Jehovah's Witness? So how did your conversation end with the gentleman that came and talked to you?
Well, like you, Tim, they were going to go away and go and check out, as I asked them, bring back some pedigreed credentials, PhD trained Greek and Hebrew scholars who helped with translation. And see what happens. I did keep the focus on Jesus. One of the things that they're big about, oh, Jesus is he's the prototokos, right? He's the firstborn of all creation. And they look at Colossians 1:15, you know, and that can be tricky. And I think that our audience, if a Jehovah's Witness comes to the door and they say, hey, look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, and you read it and it talks about Jesus, he's the firstborn of all creation, they'll say, see, he didn't eternally exist. He's the firstborn of all creation. But then we can take them, and I took them to Psalm 89:27. I said, well, Psalm 89:27 refers to David as the prototokos. I said, was David the firstborn of Jesse? No, David was the lastborn of Jesse.
Right.
He's called the prototokos in the Greek Septuagint. And what ends up happening is it's language to refer to the preeminent one. the preeminent son of Jesse, to the preeminent son of God, the Lord Jesus. And not only that, Paul had at his disposal another Greek word that he could have utilized if it was talking about being the first created. And so I try to let them know that Jesus is more than a man, that he's divine. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. What the Jehovah's Witness or the Muslim will want to do is they'll say, oh, but he's one in purpose. Then I say, well, why does the very next verse, verse 30, say they picked up stones to stone him? Why would you pick up stones to stone Jesus for trying to be one in purpose with the Father when every Jew was supposed to be one in purpose?
Right.
And then I would take them to other verses in that moment as we talk about how in Hebrews 1, God the Father calls God the Son God. We know that the disciples after Jesus referred to him as divine. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And so I really just try to stress for them that Jesus, he didn't reject worship, right? Like he received worship. He didn't say, hey, quit that. What are you doing? He knew that he was more than a man. He claimed to be able to forgive sins. So in helping them with that, I really try to put the challenge on there's more homework to be done as it relates to the person of Christ.
Definitely more homework to be done there. There are a number of videos addressing specifically some of the things that you just talked about there at the end. I know that you interviewed Norm Geisler on Jehovah Witnesses. I know that there's a video about Jesus being a created being on the OneMinuteApologist.com website. So there are some more resources that we can avail ourselves of. You can also become a financial supporter and a team member by heading on over to OneMinuteApologist.com and get some clarifying answers from Bobby on our once-a-month webinar. So if that's something that you are interested to in doing, feel free to do that. We'd love to have you support this podcast, share it, review it, and we will see you next time when we talk about how to read the Bible. So we'll see you then.